I'm so embarrassed texting you this message, but I am desperate. I'm living in Blarney, County Cork. I'm renting privately. My landlord won't accept HAP. My rent is $750 a month for a two-bedroom house. I've been struggling for a while now, but this month is the worst. My rent is due tomorrow, so I'll have to go without food for me and the kids in order to keep a roof over their heads. The house is so damp and cold, but it's all I can get, and it's all I can afford right now. I'm actually sitting here crying my eyes out while I write this message. I don't want people knowing my name, as I've never been as embarrassed as I am right now. I feel like a complete failure to my kids, knowing they're hungry and I can't feed them. I'm attaching pictures of one of the small bedrooms to show the damp conditions that we live in. It needs extra heating to heat it up, which means more debt for me. Sorry for ranting on about this. If you could point me in the direction of anyone who could help us, I would be forever grateful. And that was the message that she sent.
I was in with the homeless crowds in the city, and they told me that they have no emergency accommodation available that suit me and the kids. If I was on my own, they'd put me into the Simon community.
Right.
But because I have the kids, there's nothing they can do.
And how old are the kids, Susan?
3 and 4.
I'm sure they're only small babies, really.
They're only babies.
So they've told you that they have nothing for you at the homeless
offices? Yeah, they've told me on a number of occasions. That it's not that I've sat back. I've been in there over and over again.
Oh, I know.
I'm not originally from Cork, so I'm told to go back to my own hometown. That's not an option. I can't go back to my own hometown. I was fleeing domestic violence, so I can't go back to my own hometown.
Okay. I was going to ask you why, but you've told me.
Yeah.
So your rent is $750 a month. How do you raise that money? Is it through welfare?
Between my social welfare and my children's allowance.
Okay. You just about get there.
Yeah, and I have one friend, like, she lives in Blarney, and she helps with my children some days. Like, if she can't help too much because she has 3 kids herself, but if she's putting on a bit of a dinner for her kids, my kids will eat with her kids, and I bring them up to her house a good bit to get them out of the cold and the dampness.
That's a good friend you have.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
How do you manage for heating and for lighting?
I have an electric heater, a small electric heater that my friend's dad actually got for me when I moved in here. And the lighting, I have a small lamp and we just use it when we need to use it.
And who pays for the electricity? Do you have to pay?
I pay my $750 a month rent, and then I have to pay an extra €100 on top of that for electricity.
€100 a month? And that's paid directly to the landlord, yeah?
Yeah.
So really, your rent is $850 a month?
Yeah. I just want to wear awareness, just to try and, even if it was only a two-bed house, even if it was only a one-bed house, that it wouldn't be damp conditions.
I know.
Just for me and my children, even if it was just another shared bedroom, just somewhere that we can say, okay, we're going in here and we're not going to get sick out of this. Because if I get sick with the dampness over being an asthmatic, then my kids, I don't know what's going to happen to my kids.
I know.
If I'm no longer able to look after them, Tusla will end up stepping in with my kids, and that's not going to help either one of us.
I know. It's a heartbreaking situation, Susan. It really is.
I feel like a complete failure. My mental health is all over the place. So many times I've contemplated suicide. But I know then I have to be strong for the kids. I have to continue on for the kids. But it's horrible, like, to sit back when you hear 2 little babies telling you that they're hungry and you haven't got the food to feed them. How do you tell them, like, you can't eat, I don't have it? And as boys, it's like they're always hungry.
Yes, yes, boys are always hungry. That's the truth. That's the truth.
When you're, like, looking at them and saying you couldn't be hungry again. There's days I often went 2 days, 3 days, not eating, just so that my kids can eat. I can survive a lot better, but a baby, a 3 and 4 year old, they can't survive without food. A man reached out
to you once more before we finish up. Christine on the Crows, you feed them all the time.
I do, PJ, and they won't eat brown bread.
You're joking.
Yeah. I could put brown bread out all around the garden outside, but they will not eat the brown bread. But at the minute I put the white bread out, it's gone. Yeah, honest to God. And they'd know me in the morning coming, they'd be all up around the trees.
Right.
And the minute they see me coming, they're all down. But if you put brown bread down...
You mean brown sliced pan or something?
No, soda bread. Like.
So soda bread, oh yeah.
Yeah, brown soda bread.
The best they would like, homemade yeah. like.
They won't eat it, could be there all day.
That's a bit of an insult to your cooking.
Honest to God, now you wouldn't believe it. No, and I even like that. Now I tried brown sliced pan with them, and no.
No, just white bread. And how many of them would come in?
It'd be about 20 of them there, I'd say.
Oh my God, would they not poo all over the garden?
They don't. No, they don't. And I have cats outside. And the cats, they wouldn't be afraid of the cats.
Well, no. If you've seen some of the crows around, they're nearly bigger than the cats.
They are, yeah.
I mean, I've a little small cat, and she'd chase a magpie, but she wouldn't chase the crows.
Boy, no. These cats now, they sit down looking at the crows. eating the bread. Honest to God, no. You wouldn't believe it. You'd have to see it now to believe it. My husband was laughing because I said to him, look out now. I said, they won't eat that bread. He said, if they're hungry, they'll eat it.
You see, there is that belief. There they are now. They're down. They're giving out the brown bread. What's that they say? That again? Put a bit of butter on it.
Maybe so. Maybe they might eat it. I have loads of cats and animals and...
Good.
Like, oh yeah, they're all wild outside now, but I feed them all.
Good. Have you seen any magpies?
I have.
See the size of them this year.
Yes. Yeah, they're huge.
They're like bowling balls. They're huge things.
They're huge. They are.
I remember Jim from Birdwatch Ireland telling me a couple of years ago that they're not actually that big. They're just a big ball of feathers.
How come are you?
Yeah. How many cats have you?
How many cats? There's about 15 of them outside, all wild.
All right.
And then I have 5 inside in the house.
Is it in the wildlife park you're running? Is it, Christine?
Yes, I think it is. Honest to God, my husband was just that. Well, I had one there now. She's inside the house. She broke her leg last year.
Right.
It cost a fortune to get her leg fixed.
Oh, I know.
The care she got inside the vets was unbelievable.
So you've 20 cats in and around the house and the garden?
Yeah, I have 5 inside and there's about 15 of them outside.
How can you afford to feed all them?
But I do. I buy 7 trays of 12 trays of cat food for them every week.
You mad?
Yeah, from Aldi's. From Aldi's.
Yeah, that's cheap enough in Aldi, I suppose.
Yeah, but they're 5. They're 5 something like a tray.
Christine, you're very dedicated.
And it gets nuts as well then.
But I'm honestly, still... I'd say, well, it's no wonder the crows are coming back to your place.
Yes, like. And then I have a lovely dog. He's between an Alsatian and a Husky. My son's friend was giving him into the animal, so I'm sure I brought him home.
Hang on. So you've got about 20 crows coming to you. You've got 15 cats outside and 5 inside.
Yeah, and a dog.
And a dog.
And the dog is inside as well. It's like the animal soul.
Poor husband gets fed at all.
Yeah, honest to God, I don't believe it. But they're fed before the neighbours will be laughing. They're fed before we have our breakfast in the morning.
What time are you getting up? 3:30?
No, we get up about 7 that way, like, and we feed them all. Then we have our own breakfast, they're fed then. No, I'm very fond of animals there.
You would want to be. You should be charging admission.
That's my husband would say, put up house full. I look after them all. I see loads of... And there's a mother cat there. Now she's after having 5 kittens outside.
You're joking me.
Yeah, 5 kittens. And I wouldn't part with one of them then.
So you
there was a man in the dump asked me, have you any cat to give away? And I said, no.
You have 25 cats, woman.
Yeah, woman I am.
25 cats?
Yeah.
And they're probably still breeding, like?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But I wouldn't be cruel to them, then.
No, you wouldn't. No. Christine, lovely talking to you. That's gas. That's brilliant. She has 25 cats, a dog, and 20 crows that visit her house on a regular basis.
last week I spoke to Andrew, or Andy, Chambers.
And you'll remember the story.
Andy was diagnosed last year with motor neuron disease, and it is rapidly progressing. And unfortunately, he is already in a wheelchair, and his doctors and himself are not optimistic about the future. And poor Andy is not optimistic that he'll see the end of the year, which is a terrible thing to be facing when you're a young man. His partner, Sian, is from Laos. They met quite a number of years ago, and he was trying to get Sian here to spend what time he has left with him, ideally. Maybe marry him if he can. We chatted about it last week on the opinion line, and here's a reminder once again of that conversation.
If he could come here tomorrow and I could marry him the following day, I would do that. I mean, the other thing I'm doing at the moment is I need to write my will and arrange power of attorney as well. I'd like to make sure that you know, my family, and seeing as my family, were looked after I passed away. If I could marry him, that's what I would do. You know, I want to make sure he's looked after, and I want to look after him for whatever time I have left.
I know. I sense you're scared stiff, buddy, are you?
I'm terrified. My parents are helping me, look after me, but they're 75 and 76. I have an amazing group of friends. I'm very lucky with the friends I have, but I want my partner by my side.
I know.
While I face into this, I want to bring Sian around. I want to bring him down to Cork. My first time at Clonakilty here. It's a bit foggy at the moment now, but it looks beautiful as well. I want to show him Cove. You know, I want to bring him around Ireland and show him stuff as well. That's kind of all I want at the moment. I'm just focused on getting him over here and beside me as well. I suppose one thing I will say is when I was diagnosed, I told lots of people. I told friends, family, everybody else. Everybody's first reaction is they're devastated for my news. And the second question is, you know, what can we do? Whatever help you need, we're here to help you as well. When I reached out to a number of politicians, where frankly, a lot of times I was ignored. And then when I did get a response back, the response back was, we're devastated for you, but here's what you need to do. I was expecting someone to come back to me and tell me, this is wrong. We're going to get this fixed and here's what we're going to do.
So what we did that day with Andrew was we said we would reach out to Micheál Martin's office and we would send copies of the interview to Micheál Martin. We would send the interview to Simon Harris, who's currently the Justice Minister. Micheál, of course, is Minister for Foreign Affairs. We were also contacted by Sinn Féin TD Donacha O'Leary, who said he would take up the case to see what could be done from his end of Leinster House. Andrew Chambers, you got a text message this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Keith. Yeah, I got a text message this morning from Simon Harris's parliamentary assistant to say that Sian's visa had been issued, so they've put it in his passport and they've sent his passport back to Lao to him, so it should be back with him in a few days. So, like, it just means I can book him a flight and he'll likely be here with me early next week.
Oh my God.
So. It's just... it's a good day today. That's what I'm going to say. And I know PJ said it on text message to fair this as well. I can't thank you both so much just for what you did last week and all the following up as well. You know, I know you spoke to Dunnock and I emailed him last night as well. And he spoke to, I think Martin Kenny is the Sinn Féin Justice spokesperson. Well, they were going to chase up on it as well today. And Dunnock spoke to Simon Harris in the Dáil Chamber yesterday to remind him about my case as well. So I'm not too sure what strings were pulled or what happened as well. But today is a good day. It's a result. And you know, and I'm over the moon as well, and seeing it's just over the moon as well.
It's fantastic. I'm so thrilled for you because you were so upset last week, and so you were like a little lost puppy. You had no idea where to turn. We're nearly good to go. We're nearly out of here for the holidays. What Emer? I can go live. He's there.
Now connecting you to the North Pole. Please hold.
Live to the North Pole. Santa!
Coogan! Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Santa.
Ho, ho, ho! It's about time I had a chat with you pup.
Well, I've been doing my best to behave this year, Santa.
Last time I visited you, they were finishing off Newgrange. How are you, Coogan?
I'm not too bad now, Santa. Would you say happy Christmas to the Queen Bee, though, because she hasn't been very well?
Happy Christmas, Queen Bee, and the very best to you.
Now, you have a night off. What do you do in the night before Christmas Eve?
Yoga. Lots and lots of yoga. It's the new me, Coogan. I have to stretch out. There's a million chimneys to get down, 100,000 flats to get into. It's going to be a very testing night for my rather rounded physique.
Yoga.
Yoga! Roy Keane does it, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and
I sense you have an issue.
I'm trying to picture it in my mind, Santa.
Downward dog with a 12-stone belly is very difficult, I can tell you.
I imagine it is. And then how will you prepare tomorrow?
How will I prepare tomorrow? Well, first of all, a good night's kip, a good traditional Irish stew. There might be a little bit of... What is your big dish in Cork?
Well, tripe and rasheen.
No, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole, but I'll eat something very healthy. And...
6 cans of Morphe's as well, Coogan. What's happening? Are you all right, boy?
I'm grand. But you can't drink and drive.
The elves are sound, but we don't actually live in our pod. We're responsible for the packing, and we're responsible for the elf in safety. Other than that, kid, we stay there. Santy's on the road.
So the elves will all be on the tear.
Yeah! Absolutely ripping it up. And when Santa gets back, we're going to go to a beach after the opening parties.
You know that you've got Sky clearance as well. You've got clearance for the Irish Sky. The Taoiseach actually stood up in the Dáil last week, Santa, and said that you have clearance. I can let you hear that, actually.
You have it handy, do you?
I do indeed.
Wonderful.
Well, I wish to confirm, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Santa will be facilitated in terms of access to Irish airspace, and our intelligence is that Santa will arrive duly on time for the children of our nation. They may rest assured of that. We may not guarantee a lot of other things, but we guarantee that most definitively.
Any update on the old housing crisis, lads?
Ah, Santy, keep it nice. Now it's nearly Christmas.
Now, how are we looking weather-wise, Coogan?
According to the very nice man, Alan O'Reilly at Carlow Weather, he said you'll have a fairly safe flight over Ireland. It'll be cold, it might rain a bit, but there's no sign of a white Christmas.
It is absolutely freezing up here at the moment, Coogan. Minus 22 degrees. Elves, open the window and let Coogan hear what it's like.
Close the window!
Oh, where are all the elves gone?
Santa, you can't be doing that, boy.
Sorry about that, PJ. I nearly lost my workforce. Now, what were you saying?
What's your favourite part of Cork to land in, Santa?
Well, my favourite part of Cork to avoid is the Elysian Tower on a foggy night. Myself and the reindeer have had a few close calls with the Elysian. I'm very fond of landing up around the lock when the lock is nice and frozen. I love Clonakilty. Always get a little bit of black pudding. And where else? Anywhere down West Cork direction. Again, cookies are incredible.
So, Santy, what does Mrs. Claus do when you're travelling around the world?
Well, she's a very busy lady. She is the brains and the backbone of the operation, as you know, PJ, and I'd be lost without her. So when I'm gone, she puts the feet up, and she's currently watching, what is that thing? Oh, Meghan and Harry on Netflix. What a load of coddle.
Not her, too.
Everybody's on it.
I know. Santa, I'm going to leave you go. One warning, please do not get stuck in any chimneys.
What is it that you want for Christmas, Coogan?
A bit of peace and quiet would be nice.
Mary Lou is a Taoiseach.
A bit of peace and quiet would be nice.
Good to talk to you, kid.
Cheers, Santy. Safe journey.
Happy Christmas to one and all across the Rebel County, and I shall see you very, very soon. Happy Christmas, everybody. Ho, 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 ho.
Thank you, Santa, and the elves. Drive safely tomorrow night. And so another year draws to a close on the Opinion Line. We've taken hundreds of your calls, read thousands of your messages, hopefully given you a space to share your story or your views. We've brought you, we hope,